All right, so today we're diving into the world of nuclear power. And we've got a really interesting perspective lined up for you guys. We'll be looking at this column by Jim Thompson. He's an industrial engineer, so he's coming at this with some pretty unique insights. At least that's what we've heard. Actually, we even heard from a listener, Darren Jensen. He actually works at nuclear plant now, and he gave Thompson's column a huge thumbs up. Especially praise his unique voice and perspective.
Yeah, it's really fascinating how Thompson approaches the topic. Like, he starts off with this really bold prediction. He believes our grandchildren will be living in a world powered by nuclear energy. He even jokes that they'll be looking at those giant wind turbines as nothing more than amusement park rides.
Haha, that's quite the image, right? I mean, it really makes you wonder, what makes him so optimistic about the future of nuclear power? Well, he dives right into that, tackling some of the biggest concerns head on. Starting with, well, I guess you could say the elephant in the room, safety. He compares Vogtle 2, the newest nuclear plant here in the U.S., to Three Mile Island, which of course brings up memories of that major accident back in 79.
Right, and that comparison is really key here, because it highlights just how much technology has advanced since then. I mean, think about it. In 1979, the Apple II Plus had just come out. The internet, as we know it, didn't even exist. Nuclear plants back then relied on, well, they were slow, analog systems for process control. But now, fast forward to today, we have instantaneous digital feedback loops, sophisticated sensors, and even AI is playing a critical role in safety and efficiency.
So it's not your grandpa's nuclear plant anymore.
Definitely not. Take AI, for example. It can monitor thousands of sensors simultaneously in real time, detecting even the tiniest anomalies that, honestly, humans would probably miss. And this allows for, you know, preventative maintenance and early detection of potential issues, which significantly reduces the risk of any major incidents.
That makes a lot of sense. But what about the other big concern we always hear about, nuclear waste? That's something a lot of people are worried about, and understandably so.
Absolutely. It's a common fear for sure, and Thompson addresses it head on. He points out that, yes, nuclear waste exists, but he frames it in a way that really puts things in perspective. He uses this analogy of a brick. He says the amount of waste generated annually from a nuclear reactor, enough to power one person's electricity needs for a year, is about the size of a brick.
Wow, that's a lot less than I would have imagined.
Right. And, get this, even more striking is that only a tiny fraction of that, a mere 5 grams, is actually high-level waste. That's like the weight of a sheet of paper. Compare that to a coal-fired plant, which generates tons and tons of ash and millions of tons of carbon dioxide every year.
So in terms of the actual volume of waste, nuclear power seems incredibly efficient.
It really is. And that brick analogy, it really stuck with me. It makes you reconsider how we perceive the issue of waste disposal when comparing these different energy sources. But Thompson doesn't stop there. He goes on to address the fear of long-term radioactivity.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the long-term impact of radioactive waste is a big one, right? It feels like one of those things that could haunt humanity for generations.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's a valid concern. And to be fair, some nuclear waste does remain radioactive for a very, very long time. But, and this is key, this is where Thompson adds some important context, you know. He explains that the most dangerous components of that waste, they actually decay to safe levels within centuries, not millennia, as a lot of people think.
Okay, that's still a long time, centuries, but... I don't know. Centuries feels a lot different than thinking about, like, waste remaining hazardous for thousands or even millions of years, you know? Is there a way to, like, put that time frame into perspective a little bit?
Absolutely. Thompson makes this really interesting point, and bear with me here. We actually live in a naturally radioactive environment. We encounter it every day from things like, well, soil, for example, or cosmic rays, even some foods. And the amount of radioactive material that might leak from a well-designed, you know, deep geological repository, it would actually be insignificant compared to this background radiation we're all constantly exposed to.
See, that's not something I think a lot of people realize. It seems like there's this perception that any exposure to radiation is automatically, like, dangerous. But if we're already surrounded by it naturally, well...
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And that's where, you know, understanding the science is so crucial, right? It's not about saying there's zero risk, but rather, you know, putting the risks in context. Thompson's not, like, downplaying the importance of, say, storage or anything, but he is challenging us to approach these discussions with accurate information and a sense of perspective.
So are we, like, worrying about nuclear waste more than we need to?
Well, it's not quite that simple, right? Obviously, responsible waste management is, you know, it's crucial. But what Thompson's column really highlights, at least for me, is this disconnect between public perception and the technological realities of nuclear power. Mm-hmm. It seems we're often stuck with this, like, this outdated image of the industry, you know, clinging to fears that are honestly rooted in the past.
It's almost like we're so afraid of repeating the mistakes of the past that we're hesitant to, like, acknowledge how far we've come, you know?
Yeah, and that hesitancy, it has real consequences. It prevents us from having, you know, open and informed discussions about the role nuclear power could play in a, you know, cleaner, more sustainable energy future.
Right.
We need to bridge that gap between perception and reality.
So how do we do that? How do we move past the fear, all the, like, baggage, and get people to really engage with the potential of this technology?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? Like, it's one thing to, you know, sit here and acknowledge all these amazing technological advancements, but how do you actually get the public on board? That's a whole other challenge.
It really is. It's about, like, changing the narrative, you know, instead of focusing on the fears of the past, all the, you know, the what-ifs. We need to be highlighting the possibilities of the future. Thompson actually uses this great analogy in his column.
Oh, yeah. What's that? He compares our current perception of nuclear power to, you know, those clunky computers from the 1970s. Huge, slow, limited. Back then, people couldn't have imagined the sneak smartphones and crazy powerful laptops we have today. And nuclear power, he argues, it's at a similar turning point.
Mm-hmm.
We're just starting to scratch the surface of its potential.
So you're saying we need to think of nuclear power as the next big tech frontier, like the early days of the internet or personal computing.
Exactly. And just like those innovations led to things we couldn't have even dreamed of back then. Who knows what advancements in nuclear power could bring? We could see even safer, more efficient reactors, new ways to manage waste, maybe even entirely new forms of energy generation we haven't even, like, thought of yet.
It's exciting to think about, isn't it? It's like Thompson said, maybe our grandkids will look back and wonder why we were so hesitant to embrace this technology. Maybe wind turbines really will be the relics of the past. Just a quirky reminder of a time before we, you know, crack the code on truly clean and abundant energy.
It's a future worth striving for, right? And it starts with changing the conversation, moving beyond the fear and embracing the possibilities. That's what Thompson's column really, I don't know, really drove home for me. You know, it's not just about the science. It's about challenging our assumptions and daring to imagine a different kind of future.
And that's what this deep dive is all about, right? Giving you the information, the different perspectives to do just that. We've unpacked the complexities of nuclear power, explored the technological advancements, tackled those, you know, those common concerns head on.
Yeah, we've looked at the facts, weighed the risks, and hopefully left you with a more nuanced understanding of this often misunderstood energy source.
Because at the end of the day, it's about making informed choices, right? Mm-hmm. As individuals and as a society, about how we power our world. And those choices, they should be based on knowledge, not fear.
Well said. So, you know, as you move forward, we encourage you to keep asking questions, keep learning, and keep those conversations going. The future of energy is something we all have a stake in.
Couldn't agree more. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of nuclear power. We'll catch you next time when we explore another fascinating topic, uncovering surprising insights and sparking those thought-provoking conversations. Until then, keep exploring.
Thank you for listening to our show today. We appreciate your support. Make sure you're always reading the highest-ranked e-newsletters in the worldwide pulp and paper industry. They are globalpapermoney.com and nipimpressions.com. This program has been produced by Pulp and Paper Radio International, now in its 11th year of delivering worldwide pulp and paper news when and where the listener desires. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved. And remember, whatever you do, please do it safely. We'll be talking to you soon.